And my guest today is John Bellamy Foster. John is editor of Monthly Review. He's professor of sociology at the University of Oregon. There he combines research on capitalism's economic policy, capitalism's economic, political, and ecological contradictions, while teaching sociology, social theory, Marxism, and political economy. John has written many, many articles, numerous books. His latest one, he was on the program some weeks back and we talked about it. It's called The Great Financial Crisis, Causes and Consequences. John, welcome to the program.
It's good to be here, Steve.
Oh, it's good to have you back. Let me just say first off, congratulations you on September 17th in New York. You know what I'm talking about. You celebrate, Monthly Review celebrated its 60th anniversary. Well, my goodness, Monthly Review is almost as old as I am. Oh, that must have been a wonderful occasion. I don't think I'll be around for the 100th. I hope I'll be around for the 70th.
Jeremiah Wright spoke at that occasion, and I know the video of him is circulating around. A lot of it's circulating on the right wing as well. They're very upset and by the things he's saying, but his message was put people before profit.
Well, indeed so. I see one little clip that you've got where he was saying militarism, capitalism and racism, domestic oppression, foreign military aggression, victims of neocolonialism, victims of community and national racism in the Cold War days in its infancy, to the needless war in Vietnam, through Afghanistan, Iraq, all the rest, John. Well, you know, when you say truthful things and you really touch the most sensitive nerves, what else are these guys going to say? What do we call those people anyway? I mean, these people causing so much human misery around the world, and I don't have any doubt in the world that the crisis, that the latest crisis, maybe that's the way to put it, that broke in the fall of 2007. This did not happen by chance, John. I mean, these guys had it planned, and they want to consolidate more. They know they'll get limitless amounts of money from the government to help people, but to speculate, to buy up their competitors. Oh, it's a dirty, ugly business, John. You know it well.
Well, I was struck by the immorality of it today because, last night, John Varley, who's CEO of Barclays, gave a sermon at St. Martin in the Fields, a church in London's Trafalgar Square, and he said, profit is not satanic. And defended the bank bonuses as Christ's way. He actually
way,
said, quote, profit is not satanic. And on October 20th, Brian Griffith, who's Goldman Sachs international advisor, gave a sermon at St. Paul's Cathedral in London in the financial district, and he said, quote, the injunction of Jesus to love others as ourselves is an endorsement of self-interest.
You believe these guys, John.
It's amazing.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialist at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
John, the breakaways are ruthless. I hate to interrupt anybody, and yet I know that break is coming, and I guess it's computer-generated, and when it comes, it comes. I wanted to try to duck in one comment from what you're saying.
Yeah.
What those people were talking about, so outlandish. The one thought that raced through my mind was from the old movie years back, Wall Street, and the line, greed is good.
Yeah, the character was Gecko, said greed is good.
Wooden Gecko,
this,
right?
This is Brian Griffith, Goldman Sachs international advisor, on October 20th at St. Paul's Cathedral. And he said, to just read both sentences of this, he says, the injunction of Jesus to love others as ourselves is an endorsement of self-interest. We have to tolerate the inequality as a way to achieving greater prosperity and opportunity of all. Anyway, they're justifying the bank bonuses, a 50% increase in bonuses in Citibank in London, in the city in London, on the basis of greed is good.
It really is shocking, John. I mean, these guys can say it. They live it every day. And I swear, I think these people actually believe what they say. They think this really is good. The old trickle-down idea from the Reagan era.
Yeah.
We get a few crumbs, and they get the whole loaf. So that's their idea of trickle-down. Let me throw a couple of numbers at you that sound pretty ominous to me. I ran across numbers for unemployment just south of you in California, and the Labor Department, of course, the only unemployment number that ever gets reported is the so-called U3, but U6 unemployment in California is 19.6%, I believe, at the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the California State Department of Labor, they have it at 21.9%. So when government gives you numbers these bad, my guess is that the real numbers are probably worse than this.
The U6 figures are approximately double the official unemployment figures. U6 data is also kept by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, but it includes what we call marginally attached workers, that's discouraged workers who've given up looking for jobs. It includes, let's say, mothers who stay at home and aren't able to work even though they'd like to because they can't afford the daycare. It includes part-time workers who want full-time work and a lot of other categories, and is a more realistic number. And that tells us that maybe one in five of – I mean, in, sorry, yeah, one-fifth of the population is unemployed. By those terms, and I think this is significant, and it really reflects what we see around us.
I don't think anything reflects the sickness of the economy, John, more than those unemployment numbers. If people aren't working, then obviously that their ability to spend is greatly restricted. I mean, they need to pay the rent if they can do it. They need to eat. If they get sick, they need to handle their medical bills. But, of course, health care is just out of sight, the cost of it. And so many people don't have it, and the solutions being proposed aren't solutions. I mean, we really have a very dire situation. And yet, I guess when you print money with abandon and hand it over to these big, giant financial institutions, they can, and then you allow them to rig their books so that they don't have to declare losses. You freeze the losses, and you only count the profits. So everything looks rosy, and even the GDP number of the last quarter, that 3.5%, if you break that down, it really is not anywhere near as good as it looks. Half of it came from cash for clunkers, and the exact categories. There was another 0.9% and another 0.6, which virtually eats up the entire 3.5% that came from one-time gains from stimulus. One of them was from the tax credit for first-time home buyers, and the other small chunk, percentage. Came from another one-time event I'm thinking it was the Social Security checks they handed out. They sent me a check for $250. They didn't send I got an electronic credit for $250. It came months and months after it was announced. Well, unless they keep doing that, then these things won't register in upcoming quarters. So we really have just an awful situation. People are in terrible straits, and I guess you can keep pumping life artificially into the economy and keep it levitating a while longer. But sooner or later, push comes to shove, and I just can't imagine what's down the road.
The support for first-time purchasers of homes is supposed to end, even if it's extended by mid-2010, so that stimulus is going to be gone. The purchasing of mortgage-backed securities is being phased out, and the cash for clunkers. They're ending that, and that pushed forward the car purchases. So they expect to have a big drop in car purchases following it. It's really a difficult situation. The 3.5% rate of growth in last quarter is likely to fade into nothing in this coming quarter. The consumption is dropping. The latest figures show that consumption is dropping, there's an expectation that home prices are going to fall again over the next year. Incomes for most people are stagnant, and the situation is really quite severe. On Friday, they're going to come out with new unemployment figures, and there's an expectation that unemployment nationally will hit, official unemployment, U3, will hit 10%. Whether that is the case or not, we'll just see. But it's going to take a long time for the economy to recover here. In the last recession, it took the economy 47 months, that is almost 4 years, to recover the jobs that it had lost. And the expectation is that the economy will take even longer to recover these jobs lost, if it ever does.
Maybe it never will, John. In an article I wrote, I quoted, of all people, Larry Summers, who apparently is an expert on unemployment, and it was from a piece or some analysis he did, I believe, in the 1980s, maybe the late 1980s or early 1990s, where he analyzed the high unemployment rates in Western Europe that I think for a number of years stayed around 10% or so, pretty high numbers. And if I remember the term he used right, I think he called it hysteresis. It was from a Greek word. I don't remember the translation of the Greek word, but I think he took it from a Greek word. But his bottom line was that you can get into a situation like this, and it looks like right now, I think he was quoted from the work he did those years back, that very possibly and very likely we're in a situation now where we will get to a high unemployment rate here, whatever it tops out at, and it won't go down. It's going to stay very high. So for a good amount of time into the future, we have a permanent situation on our hands, at least for a good number of years, where millions of people will be unemployed. The rate will stay very high. And it's like we've just written them off, John. Just forget about them. We'll have to grow the economy without these millions of people, which is throwing in the dumper.
Well, I think it's true that if you had a rate of growth even of the last quarter, it would take a very, very long time to get the unemployment rate down. The unemployment rate is expected to keep on growing, even while they're talking about recovery. I think that the ultimate problem is income and wealth inequality, and it's built into the system. But what I keep on emphasizing is that real wages, if you look back at 2008 or 2007, it doesn't really matter, if you real wages in the United States were at the same level that they were in 1967. That's when Lyndon Johnson was president, and we were in the middle of the Vietnam War, if you can remember that far back. So real wages were at that level, and basically they'd gone up, but they'd gone back down, and real wages have been stagnant for decades, and right now they're falling, so because of the high rate of unemployment. So we might get back to where real wages were when Kennedy was president, or further back from that. The point is that you can't have an economy that's supposedly expanding and getting wealthier and leave most of the population without a decent income. You have a situation where the top 1%. Well, no, not the top 1%, the 400.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This has been Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
John, over the past weeks and months, we've certainly had a lot of discussion on this program about all the things that you're talking about, the unprecedented wealth gap from that top 1% to the great majority in the country, the wage stagnation since the late 60s. Rick Wolf, I'm sure you're familiar with his work. He's been on a couple of times, and he makes DVDs on the topic, giving lectures on this, that adjusted for inflation, wages have been stagnant for all these decades. It really is shocking. It wasn't that way when I got out of school. And my God, I worked before I got into a small family business, John. I worked as a marketing analyst for half a dozen years or so. And I can remember that everybody in the big companies I work for, everybody automatically got a cost of living increase every year. Of course, there were labor unions that had some bargaining power. There were good benefits, and things were a lot more affordable overall than today. My God, if your company didn't provide health insurance, you could actually go out and buy a fairly decent coverage, and it would not cost you the amount, the arm and a leg that it costs today. And it is so shockingly different today that people get in trouble, and the safety net is being eroded. You look ahead, you wonder where this is going, John. I see a very dark tunnel with no light at the end of it. I feel sorry for people who will run into hard times, and there will be little or no government aid to help them. And I want to let you jump in, and I'll throw another comment into the works. There are solutions to this, but nobody is taking them.
Yeah, well, I agree with everything you say, and You know, just to get back to that number I was talking about, because it shocks me, as if you take the top 400, those 400 richest Americans, the Forbes 400, they had in 2006 a wealth of net wealth of $1.6 trillion, which exceeded the combined wealth of the bottom 150 million people in the United States. So you have 400 people in the country own more than 150 million people. And this is extraordinary. It has to do, we've never seen this kind of income and wealth disparity. The closest thing is the late 1920s, which led to the Great Depression. So we're in these circumstances of our own making. I'm always struck by the fact that for years, for decades, really, we've been told there's no money for education, there's no money for health, there's no money to provide health insurance for people, there's no money to support job programs or public transit or any of the other things that we need. And yet the riches of the economy are expanding, the wealth at the top is expanding. It has to do, we have a very lopsided society. And I think that what you have to do about it is struggle to change this. We have to create we have to use our democracy such as it is, which also includes organizing in the streets and every other way, to change the structure of power, economic power in the country. I don't see any hope otherwise, unless people actually try to do something. Otherwise, we're in the situation of economic stagnation and worsening conditions for most of the population.
John, I think you know the history a lot better than I do, but if I'm right, I think if you look back historically in societies where the wealth disparity gets too great, you reach a point where it's like an economic speculation bubble bursting. I mean, this simply can't go on forever. The duress, I guess, at the bottom just gets too severe, and people react. So you have revolutions instead of change happening nonviolently. If it doesn't happen that way, it probably will happen violently. But I'm not certain that the outcome of those violent revolutions turn out all that well either. And yet the people who are making this kind of extreme situation happen, I don't think they give a damn, John. They, no matter how many millions or billions they have, and that top 400, I'm not certain, are they all billionaires in that top 400?
Yeah, you have to be a billionaire to be in there, more than a billionaire.
I guess that leaves us out.
Yeah.
I don't think they give a damn about that 150 million that you talk about. I just don't think they give a damn about them.
Well, you know, the amount that was given to the banks to bail out the banks in the United States in the last year exceeded far exceeded the wealth of the bottom half of the population in the United States. I think that it's also the case, you know, when you create these inequalities, things can turn to the right. They don't necessarily turn to the left. And there's that worry, you know, there's that worry too. I think that, the Republicans,
we get a break.
Yeah.
It sure turned to the right in Nazi Germany, John, under
yeah.
Very dire situation. That's exactly right. I mean,
you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
The Perculite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Perculite, with its exclusive black Perky filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Perculite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Perculite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Back to the News Hour on with John Bellamy Foster. One other thing I wanted to throw in, John, was, we've also talked about this on past programs, that the terrible financial situation of the states, and I believe 48 of the 50 are underwater,
mm-hmm.
and a solution could be had that could relieve them. There's only one state in the country that has not experienced job losses. With the avalanche of job losses that have gone on month after month, one state stands out as not having experienced them. It has the lowest unemployment rate in the country, the official unemployment rate at 4%, and it's North Dakota. And why North Dakota is different from all the others is it's the only state in the country that has its own state-owned bank. So they can, through the magic of fractional reserve banking, for every deposit they take in, they can expand it tenfold or so, and they can use those funds productively to grow activity in the state, anything from small business loans to mortgages or commercial credit to individuals for things that they need. And they can do it, and they're out from under the Federal Reserve System that's so exploitive with these powerful banking cartels owning the Federal Reserve. And the state of North Dakota can doesn't try to shut out private banks, but it's there right along with them. So people, businesses can do business with it as well as any other bank. And I guess the other banks have to compete with the state-chartered one. If you can get a X percent loan at the Bank of North Dakota, then the commercial bank down the street can't charge you double that amount. Otherwise, who would go to them and take out a loan? So why aren't all the states doing this? To me, that, well...
I think that's really remarkable, and it indicates what could be done. One of my concerns about the banking, the financial institutions, which of course have been getting the government largesse, really paid for by the taxpayers, is if you look at the 10 largest banks in the United States and the 10 largest financial institutions in 1990, they owned 10% of all financial assets. In 2008, partly as a result of the crisis itself, the 10 largest financial institutions owned 60% of all financial assets. So between 1990 and 2008, their percentage of total financial assets has gone up from 10% to 60%. All of these banks are in the too big to fail category. No matter what they do, however they speculate with the money and so on, we have to bail them out now. It's understood if they go into bankruptcy. So they've got got a blank check to do whatever they want. If you take the top 20 banks, they own something like 75% of all financial assets. So they might be all in the top too big to fail category. So we're really in a situation where we're subject to a kind of blackmail from the banks at this point.
Oh, are we ever, John? The tyranny of Wall Street. And I like to refer to them collectively as Wall Street. Certainly all the big ones operate there, no matter where else they may be headquartered. And they are the dominant industry sector in the country, and they call the shots. And it's a wonderful system, John. They privatize the profits and they socialize the losses. So so the American way is socialism for the rich, and law of the jungle, free market capitalism for everybody else.
And what it's producing is the economic stagnation. The 500 biggest non-financial corporations are sitting in the second quarter. They had $1 trillion in cash that they were sitting on. They're hoarding and not investing because the consumption is falling and the unemployment is so high. They don't see it as realistic to invest, and so that slows down the economy further. And we're in this kind of perpetual stagnation, and the stagnation is really due to this greed is good philosophy. It's generating a perpetual slow burning crisis that we don't seem to be able to get out of.
There was a book I read years ago, John. I can't remember who the author was, but it was called Casino Capitalism. This was a good number of years ago.
That was by Susan Strange,
she does sound familiar.
Political economist.
My God. Is she still around today?
No.
What would she, if she did an update on that book, my God, I guess she'd have to call it Super Casino Capitalism. I mean, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And how do you grow a country? How do you have a survivable, sustainable system under a construct like this? I guess it's wonderful for the people making all this money today, but it's like, you don't worry about tomorrow. You just worry about how much you can get today. Take the money and run. And, you know, it's somebody else's problem at some future time to worry about the fallout that this inevitably will produce. And these people aren't stupid. They know there's a bad ending out there somewhere. I mean, a real bad ending where there's no future bubble because you've reached the final one. And once this one goes, that's it. That means the whole roof comes down. The whole infrastructure crumbles. And it's the end of the ball game and something else following that.
Yeah, I addressed this issue with Bob McChesney in the October issue of Monthly Review. We had a piece called Monopoly, Finance, Capital, and the Paradox of Accumulation. And it starts off with an observation. It's really by the observation was by Larry Elliott, who is the Guardian, the economics editor for the Guardian in England. And he says, well, what they're doing is they're putting the same system back. After this crisis, what they're trying to do is restart the whole financialization process, the whole financial bubble. Once again, they have no answers but to just repeat what they did before that got us into this crisis.
Well, I think that's exactly what they want to do. They're doing it right now. And how far, I mean, a bubble is being created right in front of our eyes now. And how far it has to go, who can know? I read stuff, and I've made a comment here or there in what I've done, that there's no question that the basic economy is very weak. But it simply doesn't matter. You've got all of this money floating around. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but one piece talked about the amount of money that the Fed has poured into the economy compared to when it was doing it, I think, in the early 1930s or at some point in the 1930s when a lot of money was being created after they made all of their mistakes. Or maybe they did it and then they made their mistakes and then they came back and they did more. But the amount of money being poured into the economy now is many fold the amount that was done then. So
it's not enough.
You can't create a sustainable economy by just creating all of this speculation. It's, while all this is going on, bank lending is falling, credit is declining, people are broke, all these jobs are being lost, homes foreclosed, but the bankers are having a party. That's not an economy. That's the casino that's Wall Street, and I'm much harsher, John. I like to call them what they really are: a crime syndicate.
Yeah. Well, you know the federal stimulus too. It certainly helped, but you have to understand that the state and local governments, and this happens with a lag. They're basically being forced to cut back in their spending on a level that is probably equal to what the federal government poured into the economy in terms of its budgetary stimulus is all going to disappear because of the state government cutting back and the state and local government, so that the net effect is ends up being zero. In terms of financial bubble, they're talking about a financial bubble developing in Asia now, an asset price bubble, and the real estate prices in Hong Kong are beyond belief. They are now selling real estate in Hong Kong for 9,200 a square foot.
Oh my goodness!
A flat will cost $55.6 million.
Who can buy them, John?
The problem is that the dollar sank. That people have so many dollars they're trying to get rid of that they're pouring them into any kind of asset they can come up with. And so this is fueling a kind of an acid inflation in Asia that they're worried will bring another financial collapse beginning in Asia and spreading outward. And so this has become an incredibly irrational system.
But again, this irrationality can go on. What's the John Keynes line that markets can stay irrational longer than we can stay solvent?
Yeah, exactly. I think that this sort of thing can go on perpetually, and unless people decide they've had enough and do something to change the rules of the game. I always like Garcia Marquez's novel, 100 Years of Solitude, and it has this character in it who becomes a revolutionary, and he's invited to sit down to a game of chess, and he says he sees no point in playing a game where the rules are already determined. And I think we have to change the rules, and we have to change the rules that make greed good and give people get bonuses for destroying the economy.
It really is shocking, John, destroying the economy and literally committing crimes, things like the housing bubble. I heard a brief report that companies like Goldman Sachs deliberately created this toxic junk in literally an act of criminality, and they wanted to peddle this stuff knowing that a housing crisis would be precipitated on the other end, and they knew that they could profit so hugely by doing this, and I'm sure the other banks did exactly the same thing. So they created this crisis. They made millions, billions of dollars, and they're making more money than ever now.
Well, I don't know about them. I mean, they certainly created the crisis. I don't know if they intended to create it, but certainly the notion that greed is good and the rampant speculation. In some ways, it isn't just it can't be reduced to a question of immorality. There are reasons why the economy has slowed down, and that has a lot to do with the fundamentals of wage stagnation and income and wealth inequality and high profit margins for corporations and the fact that corporations don't invest in such an environment because it isn't they don't expect to be able to make profits. And so there's this underlying problem of a stagnating economy, and then in those terms it makes sense to pour money into assets in the hope that asset prices will go up, and that feeds a whole kind of debt and speculation game, a financial bubble, which can lift the economy for a while, but eventually, like all bubbles, it bursts. In a way, it's a kind of a structural problem of our system that isn't just a question of morality or immorality, but then that kind of financial bubble, that emphasis on speculation, on taking what you can get and not being concerned with people's real needs, it fuels a kind of immorality. Greed leads to immorality and dehumanization and all of that.
I don't know how people can sleep at night, John, by creating so much human misery. I spent a lot of years in a small family business. We weren't predators. We didn't try to profit on the backs of people we exploited. We were small, so everybody in the company knew everybody else. And, of course, we had to make a profit to stay alive. But we didn't become super rich. We did okay, but we had some rough times through the years. We were in a very cyclical business, and there were no government bailouts if we got to the edge, and we nearly went over the edge a couple of times. We literally never got 10 cents from the government.
Yeah.
We ran the RFEs responsibly. I mean, I see nothing wrong with that, but gaining for yourself on the misery of someone else, there's something fundamentally wrong with a system like that, and we sure have it big time in this country.
I was reading this report that came out of Bloomberg.com today, and they're talking about Goldman Sachs in London, and they say that they expect those who provide the janitorial staff, the staff who clean the bank and so on, to maintain them, keep it down to payments down to the minimum wage of £7.6 an hour. But at the same time, Goldman Sachs has set aside $16.7 billion for its bank employees. So they each get a half a million dollars apiece in compensation.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Welcome back to the News Hour, final segment with John Bellamy Foster. John, let me just say something about monthly review. No institution, publication, whatever, goes on for 60 years unless it has something pretty good to offer, or it has an awful lot of clout in high places like those Wall Street banks. I don't know what good they have to offer. But Monthly Review has just made a tremendous contribution for all these decades, and It goes back to Paul Sweezy and the others. Paul Sweezy and the others who founded Fred Magdoff and who was the third one? Huberman? Was he the third founder?
Leo Huberman.
I guess they began the whole...
Paul Sweezy and Leo Huberman founded it, and the first issue was in May 1949. Albert Einstein wrote for his Why Socialism for the first issue. Harry Magdoff came on as editor in 1969 when Leo Huberman died.
It's been a long, wonderful tradition all these years, and you carry on today, John, the same tradition, turning out the same important material. Listeners should get to know your site. We can have different points of view, but you present, you've got wonderful contributors, Bob McChesney. He's been on this program a couple of times, and I know he's got a new book coming out, I think, early next year, and he'll come on, and we'll talk about the book. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, these are just extraordinary people that have very important things to say.
I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but one thing about Monthly Review is that it's supported by its readers entirely. So subscriptions and money that comes in the way of donations from readers is our entire basis of financial support, both for the magazine and Monthly Review Press, which gets book revenues, but is supported by basically the readers of the magazine. And we have no rich individuals who subsidize the magazine. It all comes in nickel and dimes and in subscriptions. And I think this is a good thing to say about a magazine, because there aren't outside sponsors. People believe in it enough to keep it going. And now we have editions in I think maybe eight different languages around the world. So.
Oh, it's extraordinary, John. When you have deep-pocketed people who keep you going, they want something back for what they do. So, you know, the big commercial TV, radio, publication networks, they're beholden to their advertisers and all the rest, and they do all those nasty things that we know about. But when you're on your own, you're independent, you can think independently, act freely. To me, that's the way you go. Me, I'm just a lone ranger, John. But nobody pays me 10 cents, so I can go where I want to go. I can say what I want to say, and nobody's going to shut me down. I guess I could get a middle of the night visit by somebody very nasty, but I hope that won't happen to me, to you, or the others who do the kind of work that you excel in, and. You and many others are the role models for me, and I try to do my best.
Well, thank you. We try to understand the political economy of capitalism, the economic problems, the ecological problems, but mostly we're concerned in terms of these crises of understanding how ordinary people can,
Oh, absolutely. I've got to cut you off because they're going to cut me off. My great thanks to you. We have to do this again.
Thank you. Yes, it's fun. Bye.
Oh, thank you, John. Thank you so much. And join us again tomorrow for another program.
Introducing the